Amen. Thank you very much. Please take your Bible, turn to Psalm 66, the 66th Psalm. The Bible says, to the chief musician, a song or psalm. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou layest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth hath spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks and goats, Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that, again, teaches us and shows us of you and then explains to us very clearly how we should respond to you, how we should praise you, worship you, honor you, because you are worthy. God, not only for the things that you have done, but the things that you are doing and the things that you will do, the things that are unseen yet, we can praise you because you're trustworthy. And I'm thankful tonight, God, that you also instruct us in the fact that when we praise, when we pray, when we approach you, we must be right with you, that you're not acceptant of sin and you will not allow it into your presence. And therefore, any type of worship or praise that would exalt anything or anyone but you is not going to work. And then any type of prayer that would be regarded in our heart, if we regard iniquity in our heart, it says you cannot hear us. And so I pray that you would please help us tonight to understand and to focus in on the things that are important to you and not to us, so that we can fully praise you with our heart. Give me unction and clarity of thought and understanding, Lord. I pray you give us ears to hear and that you'd ultimately be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This psalm is all about praise. Again, it's a song or psalm that was written specifically to praise the Lord. And in this song, it gives understanding to the person doing the praise or performing the praise, what praise is about and how it should be approached. And then there are some other, there's some life things that it states to us so that we'll understand that praising God is not, well, it's not waving your hands and shaking your body. It's not rolling around and speaking in tongues. It's not. It never was. That never was or is what it's about. What it's about is a person lifting their voice, thanking and praising God, first of all, for who he is, second of all, for what he's done, third of all, for what he's doing, and fourth of all, for what he's going to do. Why? Because he's God and there is none else. He's God from eternity past, and he will be God in eternity future. And those who've accepted his son will be with him in eternity future. It's a lot to praise the Lord about. His mercy is more. There's a lot to praise the Lord about. But it does matter the person giving the praise. It matters what their heart condition is. And that's not something we take into consideration, especially in the day of grace, because grace seemingly has dismissed in some people's thoughts the fact that God still has a standard that he has set and will not be approached by those who are prideful, who are arrogant, who are full of themselves, who desire something to manipulate him. God is not paying attention to that because he's not fooled like we are. Isn't it? The Proverbs tell us to beware of any person that praises us all the time. Did you know that it says that? You know why? Because they're liars. We can't be that great. Maybe you are. The only people I accept praise from are my grandchildren, because usually they're right. And so they gave me a shirt that says Mr. Fix-It. That's who I'm known as, Mr. Fix-It. It's specially made for me, Mr. Fix-It. They always love it when, Papa, you're wearing your Mr. Fix-It shirt today. I said, yeah, I have a lot of stuff to fix. Got some stuff to do because Nanny's got me on a mission today. Oh, can I help? Sure. Papa, you really know what you're doing. I don't. I just shocked myself. I really don't know. And why didn't I turn off the switch? What was I thinking? That just happened this weekend. So, but Brother Kelly's right. It didn't hurt me or kill me or anything. It just made me jump a little bit. I didn't even fall off the ladder. I was pretty proud. But man, did I, yeah! It was about that loud. The dog was running away. So anyway, I don't know how I got there. But praise has to be considered something that's thought out. So if I'm in the practice of thinking out my praise, now I'm not saying practiced praise, like getting up here and reading my praise or whatever, but when I praise, I need to understand what kind of mindset I should have. So the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Now we're going to see later, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. We'll get into that because it's another way that we have to watch how we praise. But this is not something to be taken lightly. When you come to church, when we sing, when we come with the thought of thanking the Lord and praising the Lord, it is a vocal, something we vocally do. It's not something you go, sometimes you go, praise the Lord. Other times you just sing to the top of your lungs like he lives. Why? He lives within my heart. It's a lot to praise the Lord about. It's a heart attitude. Your heart must be in the praise. Have you ever been praised by someone who really didn't mean it? Some of you are shaking your head, yes. Likely it was your parents. No, I'm just saying, you're praised and you didn't, and it wasn't really meant, or the praise is a backhanded praise, like a complisalt, where they compliment you and insult you at the same time. That happens. It's like, you did so good, it's about time. Or, God, thank you for doing this, but you didn't do it in my time. He's not a negotiator when it comes to the way that we approach him. So make a joyful noise. So first of all, this conversation happened this morning. We were sitting talking, and we were talking about people singing and people who can't sing. And some people say, well, you don't want to hear me sing. And actually, the truth is, the only person that really wants to hear any of us sing is God. If you're singing for someone, I mean, I think it's awesome that God enables people to sing. I'm very thankful for the folks that have joined the choir, that are in the choir. If you need to be in the choir, just come up and let me know. We have plenty of spots, but maybe we just had a recent person join. I'm very thankful for people who want to use their talents. Not every person wants to sing a solo. Not every person should sing a solo, but almost everybody can sing in the choir. You can sing while you're standing in your pew. Why? Because the person next to you doesn't care how you sound. If they do, they have a problem. Because the praise is not to them, it's to God. A joyful noise, I know you've heard it before, a joyful noise is exactly what it means. I mean, whether it's a woohoo, that's a joyful noise. Or yes, that's a great noise. Or thank you, Lord. Or amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It doesn't matter. Well, Brother Ron, those people shouldn't sing. Maybe they shouldn't sing up on the platform, but it's okay for them to lift up their voice before the Lord. And if you're driving in your car by yourself, who cares how you sound? And if you're in the shower singing, la, 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 who cares? Or if you're in your, my dad, he sits in, I told you this, he sits in his room, he's got a hymnal back there, and he's just singing songs, just sing songs. You know why? We should make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Are you saying your dad is noisy? No, I'm just saying that's what he does. I don't know why you took it that way, but the fact is that if our heart is in the right place, praise should be natural. Something that we do, not that we have to work at. If you really love someone and they do something for you and your heart is invested in that relationship, you thank them when they do something for you. Not just because they did it, but because of the consideration that they would have to do anything for you. Can you imagine the creator of the universe, what he did for us just because he loves us, for God so loved the world? Have you considered that he deserves praise just because he loves us, because he doesn't have to? Now, here's some things that we're going to take off of this make a joyful noise. So the word make is an action word, joyful noise, make. And it means right now. Don't make it when everything's good. Make it all the time. Make a joyful noise. So praise the Lord right now. First of all, in the first four verses, because one day everyone is going to praise the Lord. Read what the verses say. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious right now. Saying to God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. That's going to happen. Revelation 15 tells us it's going to happen. Philippians chapter number 2 tells us it's going to happen. People are going to recognize and praise and worship and honor God. As Jesus sits on the throne during the millennial kingdom, they will come and worship him, even his enemies, because judgment will be immediate. That's why it says your terrible works, because his judgment will be swift. He'll be ruling with a rod of iron. They'll respond because of who he is. So since we're going to do it anyway, we should do it now. I'm not even going to say why not. I'm going to say we should right now make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's a reason while you're listening to preaching, while you're listening to a song, you may start weeping. You might start thanking the Lord. Why? Because he is God and there is none else. And one day, everybody's going to do it. Everybody is. If you don't do it now, you will do it then. I know people say, well, I just don't like singing in church. I don't think it's necessary. I wish we'd just get to the preaching. Why? So I can sleep. Well, come on. We need to keep you, stir you up and get you awake. Well, I don't like preaching. Now, I'm not saying people who can't sing, and I mean your voice won't allow you to sing. I'm not talking about people who have medical conditions. I know you can watch people during the singing, and if the Lord has spoken to their heart, some of them are weeping. Sometimes you weep to the point you can't sing. That's ultimate praise, where you're broken before God. In any case, you better do it now because you're going to do it later. So do it now. Praise God now because He deserves it. He is God and there is none else. But mainly because you're not going to have a choice. And I'm telling you, when we get to heaven, it will be more overwhelming than I think we can possibly imagine. I don't think any of us can comprehend what it is like, what it will be like to be. I can't imagine how the millennial reign is going to be. Can you imagine a world that produces, all of the ground produces, people won't die of senseless diseases because Jesus Himself will be sitting right there on the throne, God present, Emmanuel, God with us on the throne in Jerusalem, and He will be worshiped and adored and honored. And there will be some who do it just because they're afraid. There will be. Wouldn't it be nice if we did it just because we love Him? So praise Him now. Praise Him now because He is uniquely worthy to be worshiped. Listen to verses 5 through 7. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in His doing toward the children of men. Do you know, to worship God properly, you and I need to be aware of what He's doing right now. If you look at the world and you look at the state of the political state, the back and forth of the saber rattling, and this isn't the first time the world's been through it, but it seems like this time the world's not as afraid of it. You know, China making a big noise is a little more dangerous than Russia. Maybe a lot more dangerous. And it seems like people aren't concerned about that. Well, think about this. The more that goes on, the more I read an article that there was I believe it's the University of Michigan, had a protest on the campus, and they were shouting to destroy all Jews, kill all Jews, and they were having this big, it was led by Palestinians, it's in the news, it's not obscure news, it was on Fox News, and I was reading that people, there was this outcry, no one's going to do anything about it, why? Well, if you're not going to do anything about anything else that's sin, why would you care about that? And ultimately, that's the way the world's going. Well, we can sit here and go, oh, but we can see what God's doing in the meantime. There's drought in the West. Now there's floods in the West. Who do you think does that? You think that just happens? Well, yeah, Pastor, it's because of climate change. Right, yeah. That's why we've had such a nice, warm winter. We've never had those in Kansas before, ever. I've lived here 23 years. You know, mostly we have mild winters here, mostly. If we have tons of snow and freezing cold, that's when we're going, what just happened? Now, it should be cold. I'm not arguing that. But people think a foot of snow in Buffalo, New York is new. It is not. Neither is two, neither is three. They've had a lot of snow up there. All you have to do is go back into the 1800s. All you have to do is read history. Isn't it amazing how God has everyone confused with the weather? I think that's amazing. That's terrible works right there. Only God could, well, remember, this is going to be the worst hurricane season on record because of global climate change. And we've got to get rid of carbon emissions. We've got to get rid of CO2. We've got to kill every cow. Because they're destroying the planet. Well, how long do you think cows have been here? Unbelievable. No, you see how they're explaining it away rather than saying, look what God is doing with the weather. Man has no control over it, but we have to act like we do. But you can't know that God's doing it unless you know how God works. You can't say, come and see. Part of praise is telling people. Did you know? Telling people about how great God is. Well, you can't say, come and see, if you don't know the God you're praising. You can't come and see him unless you see him. You can't say to people, you've got to see this. Look what God did. It's amazing. He ruleth, he turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. Exodus 14, 21, Joshua 3, 14 through 17. He dried up the Red Sea and they walked over on dry ground, not muddy ground, not soggy ground, dry, dusty ground. And he did it again with the Jordan River in its flood stage. And he backed it up and they walked over on dry land, not soggy land, not marshland, dry, dusty land. God did that. He can still do it. He's still doing it all over. It's just now we have a way to explain it, and it's with our great knowledge. I'm telling you, there are many things that science does not know about the human body. Many things. Like, why are some people getting COVID worse than others and suffering with it longer? They have no explanation. They've tried a bunch of ways, but now with the new virus or the new strain out, they say, well, now anybody who's been vaccinated is more likely to get this than a person who hasn't been vaccinated. Who knew that man could make a mistake while making medicine? You want me to tell you? God is not, the Bible tells us, God doesn't sit around and go, what are they going to do next? The Bible says he laughs because he knows we have no power. He has all of it. Verse number 7 says, he ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Praise him now, because he is uniquely worthy to be worshiped and praised. There's no one else that deserves to be praised like he deserves it. Thirdly, praise him now because what he has done in times, because of what he's done in times of adversity. Listen to this. Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou layest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. So when he brought them through the waters, when he brought them through the floods, when he brought them into the land, there was adversity. There were things that they had to go through on the out as they were marching around the 40 years. Toward the end of that time, they encountered enemies and they overcame them by the power of God. And they were tried there. And then as they went into the land, they were tried again. And by the time David is writing this, they've been tried multiple times by multiple nations. All through the book of Judges, they've been tried. And here's what he says about all of it. God, you brought us through that, but you also laid it on us. Why? Well, he's admitting we deserved it, but look what you did. You brought us through. God deserves to be praised no matter your circumstance or your situation or your adversity, because his goal, his desire is to bring us through the other side, purified, tried. There's this idea that we should always have it easy as Christians, and the fact is, Christians have never had it easy, ever. They've always been hated, they've always been ridiculed, they've always been persecuted and prosecuted. Right now, it's building up where it's going to be persecution again and again. Our government has set it up beautifully that there's nothing we can do about it. And it's going to get worse. Now, we just need to be honest about it. Not only do we deserve the adversity, we really brought the adversity on ourselves. More importantly, we must need it. Why? to strengthen our praise to Him and see what He can do and what He will do, because those people who follow Him understand that He is the only one to bring you through adversity. If you're delivered to the other side of adversity, don't look back and say, look what I did. Look at the miracle and say, look what God did. Praise Him because He brings us through. He's promised that He would never leave us or forsake us. And David says, you brought the children of Israel through, and you deserve the glory. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, He doesn't make things happen, but everything that does happen, He can use for good and His glory, and that's His purpose. Praise Him for that. Verse 13, I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. Isn't it amazing that when we get in trouble, we start praying to God, and we start saying to God, if you'll just get me out of this, I'll do this. If you'll do this, I'll do this. If you'll do this. And so that's exactly what he's talking about. Men really haven't changed. God doesn't make deals, but the fact is, if you vow a vow, you better not break it. And I've heard many people say, well, if my wife or my husband is delivered from this, we'll be more faithful to church. We'll do this. We'll do this. If I do, you could look, making the promise is easy. Keeping it is difficult. If you don't intend to keep the vow, don't make it, but continue on. That was just a little side freebie right there. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. Selah, look at over at Hebrews chapter number 13. Should be a pretty familiar passage of scripture. Hebrews chapter number 13. Verse number 8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. What does that word say? Continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God is well pleased when I am, even in my adversity, in the times of my life when it seems like I've made promises, when it comes to the end of that time, he deserves praise and needs to be praised right away so that I won't forget the vows I've made. But most importantly, I will honor him and praise him with my lips because he deserves it and I am called to do it continually. Do you know people think there's something wrong with you when you're in adversity and you're still praising the Lord? And I don't mean a mockery of praising the Lord. Well, I just thank God. I just thank God. And then you tell them how bad things are? No. If you really thank God, you just say, yeah, everybody has problems, but I thank God that he's bringing me through and that he has taught me things through this. And I'm thankful that he's my God and there is none like him. And I'm thankful that when I prayed, he heard. I'm thankful because he's my God. Just because he's my God. And during the adversity, he brought me through. And I made some commitments to him, and I'm going to keep them. And the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to praise him in front of everyone. Praising God in front of everyone should not be hard. It shouldn't be difficult for us. You don't have to be outgoing to do it. All you have to do is really believe that God is worthy of praise. And then finally, it says, this in verse number 16, come and hear all you that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. I gave him the praise of my testimony, and he was exalted in my testimony. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's a statement of fact. It's not, in fact, it's further explained, but verily God hath heard me. So what that means is there was not iniquity in my heart. When I prayed to him in my adversity, he knew my heart and he heard me. It's amazing to me that we want to go to God in prayer many times, but we don't really pray when we don't need him. So if we have a bad time, if we have an adversity, we need to pray. Well, I'm going to pray, but we don't think anything about the iniquity in our heart. We act like it's not there. This is David making a statement here that I prayed and God heard because of the way I prayed. He heard my praise because of the way I praised. I praise now because he deserves it. I praise now because of what he's done, what he can do. All people are going to praise him. I praise him now because he brought me through the adversity by his power. And he shows himself mighty in the works that he has done. I praise him now because he deserves it and I deserve nothing. And I'm not going to act like when I approach God, this is what he's saying, that I don't have iniquity, I'm going to deal with it. There's a lot of people say, well, I'm still serving God. Really? Are you? You know why they're not serving God with their praise, with their lips, with their lives? Because they're not willing to admit the iniquity. You go, well, Brother Ron, now we're saved and God's grace is sufficient and God dismisses all of that. He does before you're saved. He sure does, man. If you were a murderer before you got saved, that's all under the blood. Fact. Why? Because if he can't forgive murder, he can't forgive lying. The problem is, we who have a relationship with him think he should deal with our iniquity the way we deal with it, and he's not us. He's not going to ignore the iniquity. So very plainly it states, if I give iniquity a place in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Will not. He won't listen. No. Don't be asleep here. This is a big problem we have. Because we don't regard iniquity the way he regards iniquity. We don't consider sin how he considers sin. We think we should be able to do what we want and God should do what we want. But he says, I'm glad that when I prayed, he heard me and he answered me and he attended to the voice of my prayers. That means in great detail, he attended, he paid attention. He took close inspection, he listened, he took note, he did something about it. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Ultimately, if you want to wrap all of this up, we should praise God just because he is so merciful that yes, he would even answer our prayer. You need to praise him now just because of that. So what it tells us is there's nothing in our lives that should happen that we can't praise God in and be thankful in. We may not like it. I don't think he's talking about liking the adversity, but he does say, God, although we put ourselves there and a lot of it we deserved, you brought us through the other side. And here's what I learned from that. What I learned from that is when you took us into a wealthy place, we didn't deserve it. So I'm going to praise you because ultimately because of your mercy. Because you answer and hear and attend to our prayers and you don't have to. Well, Brother Ron, what if he doesn't answer my prayer when I pray that someone won't pass away? Then praise him because he knows better for the person than you do. Well, that seems trite. These are not comforting words I'm going to try. Don't say this to someone when they've lost a loved one. I mean, come on. You and I, though, should practice and start thinking about, what if this happens? How will I respond? What will people see? Will they see a person praising? Now, look, I'm not saying that you're not going to mourn. I'm not saying that you're not going to be broken, and maybe even for a while, not altogether. That's not what I'm saying. But ultimately, we cannot stay that way because we sorrow not as others sorrow. Why? Well, we know where that person is. That's a big one. That's a very difficult one to think about. But so you could say, well, God didn't hear my prayer. But see, the fact is, God always hears prayer. He just didn't answer it the way we want him to. David is ultimately praising him for just having mercy in hearing. Just having mercy and knowing that he bent down. He attended to my prayer. He was listening. He cares that much. Ultimately, when I cried out to him and I dealt with the iniquity, he dealt with me. See, God is waiting to restore, but he will never do it on our terms, only on his. That's what he wants. A person that is not right with God cannot praise him because God is not listening to their prayer or praise. Well, how do you know? You don't know, and I don't know. God knows. You and I will know in our own lives, but I can't look at anybody in this room and go, Ryan Weir, I knew it. God is not dealing with him, obviously. Not listening to his prayers. It's obvious. It's just obvious. We have no right to judge there. You need to look at it this way. Hold up a mirror, look at yourself in the mirror and say, I deserve none of God's mercy. I deserve nothing that God gives me. And so everything that God is and will do, that he has done and he's going to do and he's doing now, I'm going to praise him for that. Why? I don't deserve any of it. Again, this is having the right view of God and saying, you know, I'm satisfied with him. I'm very thankful for what God has done, and I'm going to remain thankful. And when I prayed, he heard me. I need to remember that and quit thinking he doesn't care. Think about the adversity you've gone through, and you've gotten to places and times where you were praying, I just don't think God cares. That psalm right there tells me God cares. If you have no iniquity that you regard in your heart, he'll hear you. And when he hears you, he attends to you. Can you imagine Creator God attending to you when we should be attending to him? Praise continually. Praise now because of who God is, what he's done, what he is going to do, what he's doing now. Praise him because ultimately we deserve none of the mercy and we deserve none of the answered prayer and we deserve nothing good. And yet he gives us many times over more good than we could ever give back to him. So shouldn't we just give him praise? When it's time to sing, open your mouth and sing. When you're alone and you just sense the need to thank the Lord out loud, thank him. When you're reading the scriptures, thank him. Why? He's speaking to you. Why would he do that? Give him praise right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just take a few moments. Don't ask.